Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Paul Casey is our guest. He's a new friend. Paul is the CEO of Casey Communications, which is a communication firm out of Seattle. It's been it represents clients all over the country, primarily focusing on production and placement in the radio industry. And we'll get him to tell us about that in just a little bit. And he's our new friend. He's the author of Is Self-Employment for You? Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you here. Paul, this is a question that I talk about in a lot of different variations on this show with when I'm, especially when I'm just talking to the audience by myself or often when I have guests with me as well. And one of the things that I say, Paul, is that one of the best services that I may provide in as the small business advocate is to talk some people out of becoming self-employed, out of becoming a small business owner. What do you think about that?
Why, I think absolutely. Self-employment isn't for everybody. I mean, there's nothing wrong with working for someone, getting a paycheck, and whatever you are in your life, there's something to be said for that. But the point is, if you do have that desire, that strong will to do it, I think then you have to do some really examination like you do anything. If you want to go to college or who you want to marry, you know, those sorts of decisions, they're monumental. And I've found through the years that I've seen people just take it too casually. They think maybe, yeah, I want to do this. And do they want to do it for the right reasons?
Well, exactly. I actually had someone ask a question the other day, an email question the other day. And he talked about all the skills that he had and all the things that he knew how to do. And he was really motivated to start his own business. But he didn't have a clue as to what he wanted to do. And you know what I told him? I told him to go back. I told him to clock in tomorrow. Be sure you clock in until you find out the one thing that you'd rather do more than anything in the world. And for me, for my money, Paul, it's not enough that you want to be a business owner more than anything in the world. You've got to know what you want to do and want to do that one thing more than anything in the world.
Absolutely. You have to really beam in on that. But also, I think in addition to that, your prospects for success to measure, do you have the personality traits to succeed in business? And, for example, in the book, It's Self-Employment for You, like you were saying, Jim, I'm not trying to talk anybody going into business or out of business, but I'm hopeful by the time they finish the book, they will say, you know, this is something I do want to pursue, and I think I have a really good chance for success here. Or at the end of it, you go, you know, the timing may not just be right now, and a lot of things you said, Jim, it just may be you need to, you know, brush up on certain areas. And the good news, I think, is that there's the areas that what we talk about in terms of going into self-employment. If you really want to do it, it's like anything else, you can practice and get better at certain areas, too. Like, for example, finances. That's I have, like, for example, a test in the book or a series of tests and ask people to really examine these questions and answer them honestly. And how can you get to that? For example, I think everybody has to dig deep down and find out, are they good with finances?
Right.
You know, in their personal life. I mean, are you in debt all the time or you can't balance a checkbook? I'm not saying you have to be like Chase Manhattan Bank, but the point is, generally, can you answer that question? Are you good with finances in your personal life? If you can say yes to that honestly, I think your prospects for success will be a little bit higher.
Especially if you can be, if you can answer the question, are you capable of being disciplined with money?
That's a much better way of putting it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you disciplined? And because that's what I think, what I try to do in the book was what I call Mythbusters. And one of them is that when I heard going into business, a lot of people who weren't in business essentially were saying, like, you know, the many businesses fail because they're undercapitalized. They don't have too much money. You've heard that.
Yep,
I mean,
of course.
I've heard a lot and whatever. And I say that could be true, but I think it's more untrue. I think a lot of businesses fail because they have too much money in the beginning, and they're not disciplined, and they don't know exactly what they're going to do. I mean, it's like you're really setting off into uncharted waters, and I think it's very imperative that you keep your overhead to a bare minimum at the beginning and grow incrementally. And then there's this been tendency to try to own the world in a very short period of time. And I think a most recent example of that was the dot-com.
Right, absolutely.
Craze that went on.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, every money was being thrown at everything. The concept wasn't really crystallized. But I think people thought there was a good thing happening out there, and they were willing to write the check.
It was mania. It was mania is what it was. You know, nothing short of hysteria and mania. And at that time, you know, and I agree with you on the financial perspective that you're laying out there, Paul, because it's one of the most important things that people need to understand if they're going to start a business is they, as soon as they can, if not before they start, they've got to understand the difference between accounting and cash flow. And if they can ever get those two things squared away, you know, that'll go a long way for them. You know, Paul, one of the classic examples of people that are headed for failure when they start a business, and I'm using it partly as a metaphor, but also many folks who hear what I'm about to say, Paul, have heard this from other people, or maybe they've even said it themselves. You know what? I just love to cook. That must mean that I'd be good with a restaurant.
I think that's exactly right. It's like, you know, when you look at it that way, that comes under the follow your passion, the money will follow.
Right.
Syndrome, like the other myth. And it's like, yeah, just because you're a great artist doesn't mean you can run an art gallery. I mean,
when I hear
again those things.
When I hear people say things like that, when I hear someone say, you know, honey, you're a good cook, you ought to start a restaurant, I want to call. It makes me want to dial 911 when I hear somebody say something like that. Because I know there's a wreck about to happen.
Right, exactly. And how about this one, Jim? The customer is always right.
Yeah.
I've heard that one. Again, I don't believe that anymore, having been in business 16 years. The customer is not always right. I mean, the good news out there is, though, I strongly believe, having been in business for, let's say, the last 16 years, is that 80% of the people are excellent to work with. And I don't think you can deny that in any business, whether a restaurant or a software company or whatever. 80% of the people are just, you know, adequate, they'll pay you on time, whatever. The 10% will go out of their way to really help your business a lot. They're your guardian angels. I mean, they're there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the 10% who actually I refer to in the book is called the takers. The one where they're first, the world second types, the ones who grind you down on price. What you do is always wrong. They can't tell you, you know, exactly what it's right. But the point is, I feel after being in business, the customer is not always right.
Stand by, Paul. We're going to take a quick break. Paul Casey is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of Is Self-Employment for You? When we come back, I'm going to ask him about a place called Lake Destination. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend Paul Casey, the author of Is Self-Employment for You? Anyone can start a business. Only few can sustain a business. And that's the truth. Paul, give us your website and tell us where we can find your book.
Sure. Website is caseycommunications.net, C-A-S-E-Y, communications.net. Or you can get to it just by inputting Is Self-Employment for You? That's a pathway. Well, maybe that's even easier.
Okay, and then and typically the book's available at Amazon. That's the best place to get it?
Yeah, I would say Amazon.com would be the best place to go. If you want to go to my website, you can read the first two chapters to get an idea of the book.
All right, sounds good. Paul, what is this place called Lake Destination? You've got a chapter on that in your book.
Yeah, I think it's very early on because I think that people really have to look at going into business for themselves as a lifestyle, not just going into it as something separate from that, where sometimes I think when you work for an employer, it's kind of you have your 8-to-5 and you go home, you have a different life. Point is, I think when you're doing and conducting a business, it's a lifestyle shift and it's a mindset. So the point is, I kind of told the parable, the Lake Destination, and tried to put someone in a position of where they're at. And for example, Lake Destination is a hike, and you can go two pathways. One is the really quick way to get there and then one is a much longer destination. It takes longer. The point is, what I'm trying to say in the parable is that this book is about taking the longer route, and actually that's what you want to do.
The disciplined route that includes the proper amount of due diligence and research.
Exactly, and you just want to take the one step at a time, but it's a much more pleasant route, too. The trailheads and the scenery is much more beautiful. The camping is much better. Once you get to the lake destination, there's a lot more options for you there.
Right.
Just trying to take the speed, the instant gratification route, which many of us are indoctrinated with. That's how you get into a business. I want to make the money and be wealthy by the time I'm 30.
Yeah.
It's a much more hazardous route. You risk more. You can fall off the cliff and whatever along the way. So I'm glad you brought that up, because if you're willing and open to taking the longer route, this book would be for you.
Well, and my favorite story are the two ladies who came to my when I was a full-time consultant years ago. They came to my business. They'd been recommended to me by their husbands, and they wanted me to help them acquire a business. And they already knew the business. They'd already been talking to the owner, and it was a jewelry business, jewelry store. And this was on a Monday. And I said, okay, tell me what you know. And they told me what they knew. And I said, okay, here's some things that we have to do. I'll need this information by, you know, as soon as you can get it to me. And why don't we meet again on Friday? And I'll have some, I'll have collected some information, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, oh, what do you mean? And I said, well, that's when I want to meet with you again on Friday. They said, oh, we plan to be operating by Friday. I said, what? And I said, oh, yeah. I mean, they were going to buy, you know, a couple $100,000 transaction. They were going to do it, you know, like they would go out and go shopping for some shoes, I guess, or something. And I said, well, if that's your time schedule that you have, I'm not going to be able to help you. I won't be involved in that. They said, what are you talking about? I said, because that plan is going to fail. And of course, they didn't like me saying that, but they were the one that brought that schedule on me. I didn't, and I just said, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but you don't you're planning for failure right now, not success.
Well, and that's a very ethical thing for you to do. It's as important to tell people that information as to take their money to help them out. Oh, this will happen, unrealistic expectations.
Right. And it actually and it came to pass. I mean, it didn't take any prescience, any wonderful prescience on my part to figure that out. I mean, it did fail. But there's a self-employed mindset, a business mindset that you talk about in your book that would have been good if these ladies had. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think when you look at other mindset, it's like you beam in on things, but. For example, we talked about, keeping your overhead low at the beginning. I have a visualization of you put Scrooge, from the play Christmas Carol.
Right.
That's the person. I know he's admonished and he's looked at negatively, but, there's one thing about Scrooge. He did keep tight, close to the money.
He
ran a tight ship, and you know what? At the end of the day, he was the one who was able to help out the town because he had the money. So the point is, I would have him as your hero at the beginning. Just keep your money tight to the vest. It's a real mindset. It's getting away from instant gratification. You have to have it now. I would also take a strong look at partnerships. I'm not big on partnerships. I think that real entrepreneurs don't need partners. I think at the very beginning, why cut your income in half? And then people wonder why they fail, because they haven't thought that through strategically. I'm not saying there's plenty of partnerships at work, but really think that through. Don't give half your business away before you even put your shingle out to open it up. Just to look at that. The other area, I believe free agents. I believe in hiring contractors. There's 27
right.
million free agents out there. Why hire all these employees? Get, bogged down in bureaucracy. Every business is different, and whatever. But think that through.
Well, the main thing along those lines is sometimes you need an employee and nothing else will do. And sometimes you don't have to have an employee. And there are other scenarios that you can use. And that's the beauty of the 21st century is you've got so many choices when it comes to getting things done. I have a number of strategic vendor partners that 20 years ago would have been my employees. And I'm much happier with those now. Paul, we got to wrap it up, but will you come back again and talk about this some more? We got a lot more to talk about.
I'd love to.
Paul Casey, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Paul. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Paul Casey, ladies and gentlemen, is Self-Employment for You. That's his book. Check it out at Amazon. Quick break. I'll be right back with Michael Cox. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.